Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
On the line with us live, Dr. Tom Russo, Chief of Infectious Diseases at the Jacobs School of Medicine, talking a bit about the virus reopening. And Dr. Russo, what we heard yesterday, now the guidance we have on malls, and we only know malls right now and not sure on some of the other businesses, is that a special filter will be needed in the HVAC system to reopen that will filter out the coronavirus. I'm wondering what you know or what you've heard in the past about special filters that can filter out the virus.
Well, there we have to remember that the virus is very, very small. So filtering it out is challenging for most routine types of filters. Having said that, the virus often travels in these respiratory droplets that are larger. So it's something that can be done. Most HVAC systems have sort of these mid-level filters that don't quite have the same high filtering capacity as it sounds like they're looking for. And of course, I'm not an environmental engineer, but as you put filtering capacity in the system, that may be putting increased stress in various pumps that are driving the system as well. So you have to make sure that your overall system can handle the change in filtering, which will increase the resistance of the airflow.
Why do you think we're just hearing about this with shopping malls? Shouldn't it be with just about every building that we go into?
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that question for sure, but shopping malls, remember, are a little different in some respects in terms of the very, very sort of expansive indoor space and the potential crowding of individuals. I know that so far the approach in the state is to try to garner as much information as possible to make reopening as safe as possible to minimize risk. So I suspect that this cautious approach in terms of making sure that we can protect people as best as possible is what they're following at this point.
I think of a mall, and you mentioned that vast indoor space. Do we know a lot of, you know, there are some indoor areas that are so big it kind of feels like outdoors. I would imagine that would be better to be in than, you know, a smaller indoor space, you know, say a mall versus a, a smaller retail store, just for an example. Is that the case, or does it just not matter? Indoors is indoors and that's it?
Well, the devil is in the details. So it depends on how the air is handled. If you have a small space or a large space with a fixed air volume and it's not turned over, that's the worst case scenario from an infectious disease point of view, because then the infectious particles just sort of hang out and don't go anywhere. For any given space, what you'd like to do is maximize the intake of outside air, and then you want to then have that air expelled to the outside of the building after it's cooled or heated and circulates through the building. And you want as many turnovers of that air and therefore diluting and expelling the virus as possible. So every building, depending on their size, their configuration, and their HVAC system, will handle that differently. This sort of is a point of reference, something we're all familiar with. Airplanes are pretty good at handling their air. They turn their air volume over 10 to 12 times an hour. So from a public health and infectious disease point of view, we like that. That's good. That's a good number.
You know, could this apply to gyms, too, and help them, you know, get reopened?
So the answer is in part, but gyms pose a very special problem in that we know, and we've talked about it many times on this show, that outdoor activities are safer than indoor activities. And when everyone could wear masks indoors, it's safer than when everyone cannot wear masks. So gyms have two problematic features. One, when people are exercising, they're going to be reluctant to or feel they cannot wear masks. So getting sort of mandatory mask use in gyms may be very challenging when someone's doing sort of a high aerobic type of workout. And secondly, when you're exercising very hard compared to when you just are sitting around and talking relatively sedentary activity, you're going to expel many, many more respiratory particles. And so it's those two factors where mask use is going to be challenging and increase, generation of potential infectious particles that makes gyms a little bit trickier and risk is greater than, say, other types of activities.
What conclusions can we draw from looking at the numbers, whether it's the amount of people in the hospital, which has, significantly dropped, or just the positive test results kind of staying at about 1% no matter how many tests that we do over the past couple of weeks? What does that tell us about how much of the virus is in our community?
Well, we're probably diagnosing about 10% of the cases, because the number of individuals have asymptomatic disease or mildly symptomatic and don't present to healthcare or say, I feel a little sick, but I don't want to get the test, et cetera. But having said that, we're at really pretty low levels now. So what it's telling me is that the virus is still around. It's hanging out there. If we carry on with, our mask usage, our distancing, our hand hygiene, all the things that we've been doing right now, hopefully we'll keep it tamped down and at reasonable levels. However, if we start to, follow the model in some other states where say, the heck with it, we're going to get together, we don't care, we're not going to wear masks, et cetera, we could get in trouble very quickly. So just because we're doing well doesn't mean this is over. We just have to carry on at this point in terms of what we're doing.
Dr. Russo, how big a party can we throw for the 4th of July?
Well, that's a great question. So, if we're going to throw a party anywhere for the 4th of July, Buffalo's got to be one of the safest spots because the prevalence of infection is so low. So if you invite someone to your party who's infected, obviously that's going to increase your risk. This is what I would suggest. The party should be outdoors, not indoors, and you should situate your backyard or wherever you're going to have the party so people are well separated and maybe have then a food table or somewhere where people could go up individually so they're not clustering around the bar or the food table, and so that when they eat or drink, when they can't wear masks, they'll be both outdoors and well separated. So avoid clustering, particularly in a situation when you're eating and drinking and not wearing the protective mask.
But you shouldn't feel necessarily as if you can't go out on the 4th of July weekend, especially, if you're doing something outdoors, you should feel at least a relative sense of ease going out and seeing people?
Yes, I think the answer is yes, but I still recommend, even though outdoors is safer, mask usage, particularly if you're going to, perhaps get a little bit closer than 6 feet. There's nothing magical than 6 feet, certainly and particularly depending on wind direction, certain individuals could shed a lot more virus. And, you have no idea if someone could be infected or not infected because they could feel perfectly well, either be asymptomatic or what we call pre-symptomatic. They're infectious before they develop symptoms. So you have to assume everyone that you interact with could be infected, and therefore you want to take the appropriate precautions to protect yourself and by everyone wearing masks and maintaining distancing as best as possible. And as I said, if you're going to eat or drink, which is inevitable with the 4th of July separation, make sure you're well separated from the other individuals physically.
Hey, before we let you go, did want to ask, you know, how important, we mentioned mask use and doing all these other things, social distancing, but just kind of a sense of maybe personal responsibility is where if, you know, you've been, you're not feeling that well, or maybe you've been to one of these areas that we, you know, see so much about in the news that's experiencing a spike, so to speak, in cases, that you maybe remove yourself from those situations. How important is that, and do you think that we're doing a generally good job of that?
And that's an extraordinarily important point, Brian. So if you're not feeling well, if you have any of the symptoms at all or an inkling that you could be infected with the new coronavirus, it's critical that A, you get tested, and B, then you go home and isolate yourself so you don't expose other individuals. That way we could sort of minimize these scenarios where an infected person interacts with the large group and infects 20 or 30 of them. So remember, people think about, at least some people, well, if I get infected, I'll be fine. I'm young or whatever. I don't have risk factors for a bad outcome. But this is a community thing. It's just not you as an individual. You have a community responsibility, because if you're infected and you don't behave appropriately, you're going to infect others, multiple other individuals. And if they don't behave appropriately, they're going to infect multiple other individuals. And then you're going to get this exponential rise in infections, and the situation will spiral out of control like we've seen in a number of these states to the south and to the west. And so I think as a community in Western New York, we really pull together, and we've done well so far, and we need to continue to do so.
And I know you're stressing the importance of, we talked about hospitals seeing less and less COVID patients, but keeping up with routine vaccinations in kids, something that I know a lot of people have questions about, it's very important at a time like this.
Yeah, it's absolutely critical. There's a lot of data out there because people have been nervous because of COVID, and appropriately so, to take their children to the doctor's office and get routine vaccinations. But it's critical that we keep up. We certainly don't want a measles outbreak on top of the COVID pandemic that's ongoing and in anticipation of a possible flu season coming up, et cetera. So please, please, please take your children to the pediatrician or your family care physician, get your vaccines, protect them from those childhood viruses, because they could be equally problematic as the COVID situation, which we've been putting so much focus on.
Always great to hear from you. Dr. Tom Russo, Chief of Infectious Disease at the Jacobs School of Medicine.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.